Paul was in great straits. He was fearing. We don't see it. We just think he's just a tower of strength. He never had the feelings that we have, and oh, he did. And now God reassures him in this time of need, this time of duress. And God will reassure you in your time of need, your time of duress and stress and whatever you're going through. God is there to encourage and reassure you. And that's a wonderful thing when we have the assurance, when we have the assurance that God is with us.
As we gather, may your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kako e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill continues in Acts chapter 18 with a message titled, God is with you.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
What Jews would do is they would travel through one district in another. If they traveled through a Gentile area, or maybe a Samaritan area, they would travel through that city. And then when they would come to the border and they would enter a Jewish city, because they deemed the Gentiles unclean, they would say that they were fodder for the fires of hell. I mean, there was such a division. That's not what God said. That's what, you know, their religion said. And yet God wanted to save them. So what they would do, they would pass out of that Gentile territory and they would shake off their garments because of the city and the people were unclean and they didn't want to bring the pollution into that Jewish town or that Jewish city. So that's the idea there. Another thing about that is I'm not really an English major, but I can read, and it's in the present participle, and it means they continually, repeatedly, it's a repeated action. They continued to resist. They continued to come after Paul in this and be antagonistic toward him in that resisting, that blaspheming Paul over and over again, wouldn't let up. And so just as Jesus, you know, I think he's also following after what Jesus said when he sent out his disciples to preach the gospel. You can find it in Matthew chapter 10. But as they went out to preach the good news, there was a precedent that was set. And the precedent was when you go into a place and they're receptive, you go in there and you give them a blessing. But if they're not, you go in there and you find that they're resistant, then you deal with them in a different way. Let me read it. It's in Matthew 10, verse 11. It says, in whatever city or village you enter, inquire who is worthy in it, and abide there until you go away. And as you enter the house, give it your greeting. And if the house is worthy, let your greeting of peace come upon it. And if it is not worthy, let your greeting of peace return to you. And whoever does not receive you or heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake off the dust from your feet. So he's really doing what Jesus had commanded in that sense. But there's something else. He talks about the blood. Your blood be upon your own head. He's talking about their eternal life, their salvation life. It's really, Jesus has given us the gospel. He's given us the good news. And what we do with it is going to determine heaven or hell. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, Jesus talked more about hell than he talked about heaven. But just as Ezekiel was told by God to warn Israel, it's the same idea when Jesus tells us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We're kind of in a place as Ezekiel was in a place back in Ezekiel 33, verse 7. It says, "Now as for you, son of man, Ezekiel, I have appointed you a watchman for the house of Israel, so you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning from me." So just as Ezekiel was to give a warning to the house of Israel, we as Christians, believers, are to go into all the world and warn the people. Your salvation is at stake. And Jesus, we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Some will listen, some won't. Some here in Israel will listen, some won't. But notice what God goes on to say to Ezekiel. "When I say to you, the wicked, or when I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require from your hand. But if you on your part warn a wicked man to turn away from his way, and he does not turn away from his way, he will die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your life." You see, Paul said, "Your blood upon your own head, I am clean." It kind of shakes us up, doesn't it? And it makes us really aware of the apparent responsibility to preach the gospel and not keep it to ourselves. The Bible says, don't hide that lamp under a bed or under a bushel, under a pot, but let it be on the lampstand and shine. Let your light shine to this world, this dark world. The world needs it so much. But when it says, let me just go back to this idea of they resisted. Resisted, interesting word, and they blasphemed over and over. The word resisted means to set up in battle array. And so they were ready for battle. They weren't going to believe the antagonist. Let me say this. When you have people that are really an antagonist, they call you names, they just go after you. Realize this, I heard a long time ago, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that gets hit is the one that yelps. When you find that those people you're talking to are yelping a lot, you see, these antagonists, these resistors here, they were set up in battle array. A condemned conscience strikes out. It strikes out when they're losing the battle, when they don't want to admit that they're wrong, when they have no logical arguments for their position. What they do is they will accuse, they will condemn, they will slander, and they will blaspheme. That's what we see here. That's what they're doing with Paul. And that's what they will do with you if they don't have an argument and you keep going on in your way of preaching the gospel. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 9, it said, "When a wise man has a controversy with a foolish man, the foolish man will either rage or laughs, and there is no rest." Well, those here in Corinth were raging, blaspheming. The others in Athens, they were mocking. They were laughing at what Paul was saying. So you get those two types of attitudes. But here, Paul, he says that I'm clean, I'm free. Your blood be upon yourself. I'm free of all responsibility. In fact, if you go a couple chapters in chapter 20, verse 26, Paul says, "Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Paul didn't shrink back in sharing the gospel. Let's go a little farther here in our text. In verse 7 and 8, it says, "Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God." Now, this is a Gentile who was following after Jehovah, or the God of Israel, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord, and all his household and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. So Paul says, he shakes off his garment, "Blood is upon yourself, I'm innocent. I'm free," and he goes to a home fellowship here of Titius. And his, when it says worshiper, the Greek term is sebomai, and it means Gentile proselyte. In other words, he was a Gentile, but he believed, he didn't want all those, pagan gods, and he believed in the God of Israel, the monolithic God, the one God. But now he's going to come to Christ through Paul. And notice this house, his house was right next door to the synagogue. The synagogue, the place where the very antagonists were antagonizing Paul. I kind of have to go back to the hippie movement when I got saved, because a lot of us had long hair, big beards, and we dressed in pretty sloppy clothes. But what happened is the traditional denominations, they rejected many of the hippies. They didn't dress right. They didn't look right. So they kept them out of church. But those are the very ones that God raised up to do a new movement. They called it the Jesus movement, the Jesus revelation. When Pastor Chuck, he was basically one of the key guys at that time, when they had finished off their sanctuary, and they'd put a new carpet in the pews, and usually had the communion cup holders in those pews where they're made out of wood and stuff. And the hippies were just flocking to Costa Mesa and Chuck and his teaching and all. And they were coming in bare feet and sloppy clothes and trunks and that kind of thing. And when they'd sit in the pews, they'd put their big toe up into the communion cup holder and stuff. And the elders were just bummed. And so they had had it. So they put a sign on the door before service, no bare feet is allowed. And Chuck came in early that morning. He saw that sign and he ripped it off of the doors. And then afterwards, he had a talking to the elders, and they said, "But Chuck, they're coming in with these dirty feet, and they're getting the carpet all soiled and putting their toes in the communion cup holders." And Chuck said, "Then let's tear out the carpet. But we don't want to stop people coming to the Lord." You see, that's the work of the Lord. And Crispus, the leader there in the synagogue, I think Crispus was eavesdropping. Because here Paul is there and they're probably singing worship songs and Paul is teaching and maybe Crispus is eardropping there and he heard the worship, he heard the teaching of Paul. And he was the synagogue attendant. He was there. He was the chief ruler there in the synagogue. And he was converted because of that. He was the guy that would lead in the synagogue. He would be the interpreter of the law. He would make make rulings there. He would discipline the unruly and preside over marriages and so on and so forth. And yet all those attendees, they were against Paul. But now he comes around. He believes. I love that. You know the guy that took over after Crispus? Sosthenes? Does he ring a bell at all? He took his place, but eventually he got saved as well. That leader of the synagogue. 1 Corinthians 1:1, you can see it. Again, I have to think back in the times where in our house, the church kind of basically sprang up. Small house out in the North Shore at Sunset Beach. It's probably only about 800 square feet, little stick house and two bedroom and one bathroom. And at that time, people just started jamming in, probably 80 plus people, young people jamming in. I was pretty young back then as well. And we would worship the Lord. Mike Stango would be Mike and Karen, the worship leaders, and the worship would just fill the whole area at Sunset Beach. Because back in those days, no internet, there wasn't even any cable, people didn't even have TV, so when the sun went down, everyone, went into hibernation or whatever they did. But then here, the Bible studies, all the worship permeating the whole neighborhood. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. And then probably maybe a year and a half, 2 years after, I was at Twin Peaks at the Bible College, and I'm up there. I don't know anybody. I'm a pretty new Christian. I've only been saved a year and a half or so, and I'm at the Bible College, and somebody comes to me and said, "You're Bill, aren't you?" And I said, "Yeah." "Bill Stoneberry, there's somebody looking for you that's here." I went, "Here? I don't know anybody." And they said, yeah, they knew you from, you know, somewhere. But anyway, they're looking for you, and they'll be down in, I'm not even sure where, down in the bookstore or whatever. So I went down there, and here's this guy comes up to me. I really didn't know him. And he said, Bill, you know, when you out in the North Shore, I was out in the North Shore too back then. And I was surfing out there. And my girlfriend used to go to those Bible studies that you had. And when you guys sang, it just, we lived at Mad John's Court out there, and that's a place a little closer to Sunset. And he said the whole area, we could just hear you guys singing. And we were getting loaded, and we were smoking marijuana. We were laughing at you guys. We thought you guys were a joke. And I got saved. I'm saved now, and I'm going to Bible college. And I thought, ah, awesome. Awesome. You see, we all have a sphere of influence. We don't know how far and how broad that is going to touch people. But we see Crispus, we see Sosthenes, we see that ministry that Paul had, beautiful ministry. Let's end off here in verses 9 to 11. And the Lord said to Paul in the night vision, do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent. For I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you. For I have many people in this city. And he settled there for a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. So don't fear any longer. Paul was in great straits. He was fearing. We don't see it. We just think he's just a tower of strength. He never had the feelings that we have. And oh, he did. And now God reassures him in this time of need, this time of duress. And God will reassure you in your time of need, your time of duress and stress and whatever you're going through. God is there to encourage and reassure you. You see, weary Paul, weary of fighting and contending with the Jews, and apparently they threatened his life. They had before threatened his life. And so God said to him, stay. Stay there in the city. No harm is going to come to you. And that's a wonderful thing when we have the assurance, when we have the assurance that God is with us. I don't know if you're here with us, but a few years back, we have our radio program on Lloyd Pulley Station there in New York and New Jersey, and it really reaches quite a broad area. And I had gotten an email. No, it was a letter. It was a letter from a guy. I still have the letter. And the guy said he was going to kill me because his girlfriend heard me on the radio, on the bridge radio. And I had said something about the Catholic Church, and she was a Catholic. I mentioned some error that they have in the church and that he was going to come and kill me. He's going to hunt me down and kill me. And I thought, well, that's interesting. And so I mentioned it to Lloyd. And I said, yeah, and it looks like it's typed on a typewriter. He said, it'd probably be written from prison because that's all they have. They have typewriters in prison. And I thought, oh, interesting. Maybe the guy has a short memory. I don't know. But and then about a year later, we went over to Bridgefest because I have my radio program. But, you know, I didn't think anything. I didn't think harm. Ooh, I better watch out. I better pack a gun. I don't have a gun. I don't own a gun. And I don't think I'll ever own a gun. But you know the cure for fear? What the cure for fear is the very thing that God told Paul. I am with you. I am with you. That's the cure. And if God is for us, who can be against us? I would say to all of us, never lose the consciousness of God's presence with us. Because he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you even to the end. Oh, what comforting words that brought to Paul. What comforting words that is also to us. You see, notice this, the last part of this, and we end off here. Notice what God knew and Paul didn't. God knows all things. He knows all things about your life and what you're going through, what your future is and everything. What God knew and Paul didn't, God said, I have many people in this city. Paul didn't understand that. He didn't know that. You see, it's why we walk by faith and not by sight. You see, those, he's saying, there in Corinth, there are those that are not going to resist your preaching. They're not going to resist the Spirit. They're going to be ready to receive the gospel. Paul, I have many people in this city, and it was the worst city, a city of sensuality, where Paul's going to spend a year and a half as compared to where he only spent a short time in Athens. You'd think Athens would be a great place for, you know, church work to begin. No, it was in Corinth. You see, the truth is, as Romans 5:20 says, but where sin abound, grace that much more abounds. When you're in sin city, when you're in situations where there's a lot of sin, a lot of evil things, God is there to do a great work. Again, let me revert back down to the Empress Theater, because when we bought that theater, it was right down the street from Hotel Street. A lot of drugs, a lot of prostitution, a lot of homeless on the street, right down the street from the Institute for Human Services and that kind of thing. And after we bought the theater, the real estate fella, Don Monroe, he told me, you know, Bill, five churches looked at this and none of them wanted it. They thought it would scare their people away. And I thought, I love those challenges. People should never scare the church away. The church should go into those areas and convert people. And so we went down there, and just an incredible work that was done. But, you know, one of the things that our ushers had to do there downtown is they had to go out in the morning before service, and they had to sweep up in the parking lot condoms and needles, because that's the kind of area it was. Condoms and needles. And a rough place. We had one Sunday, as this family was coming to our church, and the sister was praying, really praying for her brother. Brother didn't come to church. But that Sunday, the brother was arrested for soliciting a prostitute, an undercover lady officer, right there next door in our parking lot, taken to jail. Well, that's not the end of the story. He came to the Lord, radically saved. He's been one of our missionaries now for a whole bunch of years, for 10 years out in the mission field, doing an incredibly great, wonderful job for the Lord. It's so exciting to know that God has people in places where He leads us. And wherever He leads us, He's going to work an incredible work. So get ready, folks, for God's incredible work.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Acts, chapter 18, titled God Is With You. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our vast media archive. We really appreciate any support or feedback that we receive from our listeners. If you'd like to financially support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online through our website, CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today. Next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in Acts chapter 18. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.